Thank you for listening to this recording of Family Bible Church's Sunday morning message. We pray that God will use this word to bless and encourage you.
Gerald, very much. Okay, so we've been going through Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, his first epistle to the Corinthians, and we started this right after Thanksgiving, considering epistle, and as we've gone through the epistle, we consider the fact that the church of Corinth was a church that was sitting at the crossroads of culture. And they're trying to figure out how do they live out this faith, this new faith in the true God in the midst of this pagan world. And sadly, America is becoming more and more like that pagan culture. Okay, we'd like to think that it's not, but it really is. And we have to come up with these decisions as well of how these things play out. And so Paul has talked to them about this set apartness. Holiness, sanctification, that God has called them to. In fact, in the very beginning in chapter 1, we're told that God called them, set them apart, in order for them to be set apart. Those are the terms that are being used there, okay? Called to be saints. And this, again, the word saint literally is holy one, one who is set apart. And so he then goes through a multiple of different topic areas, if you would, of how that set apartness is going to affect them individually, and then now we're getting into as a body. Last week we talked about communion, the Lord's Supper. Remember, Paul came in and said, look, when I'm coming into this thing, I am not praising you. I do not have praise for you in what's happening here, but rather you're not having the mind of Christ. You're only thinking of yourself, and it's reflecting in your body, because there are divisions and there are heresies, there are schisms that are going on in the body. And it's proper that this would happen, because when there are divisions, when there are schisms, what happens? Those who are true are revealed. Paul now continues this thought process of the inner working of the assembly, inner working of the body, okay? And he brings it now into this topic of spiritual things. We refer to it as spiritual gifts. But again, if you have a literal version of the Bible, okay, King James, New King James, New American Standard, one of those, where it has italicized words, you'll note that there's a lot of italices going on here. And so really, these are just spiritual things, okay? Now, the reality is that we're going to see that there are gifts, there's bestowments that are given to us. And so that's why the translators have put spiritual gifts in there, okay? But literally, Paul says, I'm just going to talk to you about spiritual things right now, okay? And this is very important. And he begins this conversation with some background information that it's important for us to deal with real quickly here prior to us going into the topic of spiritual gifts, okay? And so I have them all here. They're on your introduction as notes as well. But this set apart spiritual gifts, okay? But here's the background that's important, okay? That we see in verse 2, okay? Verse 1 and verse 2. It says, now concerning spiritual things, brethren, I do not want you to be what? Ignorant. Now, I want you to not go back, literally, okay? But I want you to think back, literally, okay? Back to chapter 8. Remember when we went into chapter 8 and we talked about this thing called Gnosticism, okay? And how the Greek philosophy of Gnosticism was this special knowledge. And that Paul, chapter 8, really is smacking them, okay? Telling them that they really don't have what? Special knowledge. They don't even have actual knowledge. So in the Greek, remember, there's the word gnosko, which is the relational knowledge. Okay, that's John 17, verse 3, where Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's relational knowledge, okay? That's Marcia and I. You may... Second word in the Greek, oida, eido, eidon, factual knowledge. You may oida, Marcia, gnosko, Marcia. Make sense? Okay? And as you get to know more, you may have more and more toward gnosko, but not as much as I. But honestly, I don't gnosko, Marcia, like God gnosko. Make sense? That relational knowledge, okay? So Gnosticism then talked about this specialness, this special knowledge that they would have to have, you know, in order to attain this godliness stuff, okay? And so there was all, Gnosticism was all about this special stuff that was going on, okay? And this plays when we come into this section, okay? Because there are special people, okay? Who have special, what? Abilities, gifts, okay? And so Paul starts it right off, and he states to them right off the bat, I don't want you to be agnostic. It's our word, agnostic, which means, not, gnosko, gnostic, okay? I don't want you to be without real knowledge, because you are. You think you've got special knowledge, but you don't. And so I'm coming to you, and I want you to understand what the truth really is, okay? So there's ignorance, and then they have this improper foundation, which is huge to us here, okay? Because look what he says. This is how he starts this off, and so this has application to where we're going in. Now, this doesn't make me very popular, okay, in today, in Christendom today, okay? But I want you to look at what it says. You know, you what? You know. You factually know, okay? Okay? You factually know, so let's talk about what you do know. This is what you know. You know that you are Gentiles of the nations, carried away, listen to the verbs here, carried away to speechless, don't think dumb like stupid, speechless, that's the word speechless here, voiceless. You were carried away to these voiceless, speechless idols, however you were what? Led. Literally, okay, bringing it in, it says, because this is being led away is a, what is this? Not a preposition, it's a participle. Okay, good. So being led away, okay, you were led ago to voiceless idols. So you can see up, ago, okay, up is just using the same verb twice, okay? Being led, you were led. The intensification here, okay? In other words, you were what? You were dragged. You were dragged. You were, this same word, up ago, it's used 16 times. The majority of those times are all in reference to Jesus when he was in the garden being taken to the Sanhedrin. He was what? He was bound and taken. So that's the illustration that you need to understand here that Paul's talking to him. I don't want you to be what? Ignorant, because you know factually that you were what? As Gentiles, as part of the nations, apart from the truth, you were what? You were bound and you were being taken, dragged to what? These idols. What did he just tell them in chapter 10 about these idols? Demons. Not that they weren't nothing. They were what? Devils. They were demons. Behind every one of these idols is a demon. So, I want you to know you were ignorant. And I don't want you to be ignorant. And I want you to know that you were being dragged to who? The demons. What do you think? So I want you to think this through, okay? This is very important where we're going here, okay? When they went up to the temple, then to worship their idols, what were they doing? They were devil worshiping. Now, would they say they were devil worshiping? No. But behind the idols were demons. Do you get it?
They were ignorant.
They were ignorant of it. That's exactly right. They were ignorant. And so they did it in ignorance, okay? And so we read in the book of Acts that God overlooked the ignorance of the past, right? Okay? Praise God for his grace. He looked over my ignorance. Make sense? Okay? I was being led away. This is me. This is you. Before you came to know Christ, this is you. You were what? You were being led away. To do what? To worship demons. There is no middle. You're either worshiping demons or you're worshiping God. There's no middle ground. The effects of your past get carried over into your future. Gerald, you just heard, right? Before you do the Bible reading, okay? Did you still struggle with your addiction even after salvation? You did. Did you get addicted after you got saved? No, it was before you got saved. Makes sense. So you brought that addiction where? Into the relationship with Christ. Make sense? And God took it away from you over time. Make sense? I grew up in a different faith group. We'll just leave it there. You did too, probably. Okay? Yeah, we get it, right, Michelle? I mean, we understand this, okay? And the reality is, it's hard to do what? To change that stuff, to shake it. It's still always there. The theologies that I was taught, the things that I saw, are in my brain. Make sense? Now, it's been long enough that I think that, you know, those are different. However, the fact is that when you're first saved, what happens? You bring the stuff with you. You bring the trash with you. Well, so think here, okay, because this is very clear, because clearly we don't in America have devil worship, okay? But Paul's telling them about theirs, right? So let's pick on the Corinthians, okay? Don't pick on us. Let's pick on the Corinthians. So what did the Corinthians do when they got saved? They brought their devil worship baggage with them. Make sense? How we what? We always worshiped. But this isn't what? How God wants you to worship. Jesus already stated in John 4, okay, this is, you know, when Jesus was on the earth, he says that God is seeking something. What's he's seeking true worshipers. He's seeking true worshipers, and true worshipers worship him in spirit and in truth, okay? Not just spirit, not just truth. If you look at the landscape of Christianity today, it's one or the other. Okay? Now, full disclosure, right? I'm technically, theologically called what's called a cessationist. Okay? That means that as a whole, now, I drive cessationist crazy, though, because I'm really not fully there. But as a whole, I do believe, okay, that the sign gifts as a whole were for the early church, okay? And they're done. Now, but my side, though, I'm not putting God in a box. You need to understand this, okay? And that means if God chooses to use these sign gifts today, what? He will do it, okay? And I'll give you some illustrations as we go, probably, okay, where I've seen or heard about these sign gifts still being used today. And I'm okay with it. It doesn't shake my faith. Make sense? I just know it. Next week, a little bit more, okay? 13. When we get to chapter 13, you'll understand a little bit more. And then when we get to chapter 14 in 3 or 4 weeks from now, okay, and we start talking about tongues more, you'll understand even more of the journey that I've been on, really what the Bible teaches. Okay? Because again, I want to follow what the Bible teaches, not what I've been taught in my past or what the culture wants to teach me. You tracking? But what I do see in Christendom today, okay, and big deal for me in a lot of areas, salvation, Calvinism, Arminianism, is it election or is it free will? The answer is yes. It's a balance. Do I understand where the balance is? No. I don't really care. Whose job is that? God's. Spirit, truth. You got those who are over here in the certain group that everything's what? Spirit. Truth means nothing. You just got to feel it. It's all about the feeling. It's all about the spirit control. And it's all new revelation and everything else. That's wrong. It has to be what? Balanced by truth. But truth without the spirit is dead as well. And so you had the Pharisees who had what? Truth. But they had no life. God is seeking true worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay? So, how does this play out? How does this, you know, and we as people tend to lean one way or the other, and we've got to be careful because God wants me to be what? Balanced. That's exactly right. Okay? So this is kind of the foundation where Paul's going to grow into this, okay? Because the demonic idols were being fought in the church. Okay, and that's what this is going to be all about. So, we're going to begin looking at these spiritual gifts. And the first thing we do, looking at spiritual gifts, is the manifestation of the gifts, okay? And the first thing we see here in the source of the gifts, and I got a lot to cover, okay, so we're going to really kind of move through this and encourage you to spend more time studying looking at some of the other references that I have on the sheets as well, okay? But the source of the gifts is the Godhead. This is so exciting to me. How many places in God's word where the triunity of God is declared, just not stated, and God is three parts, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But here we have, where the entirety of the Godhead, if it's just meaningless here. If Jesus isn't God, it's meaningless here. And so that God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are used in parallel, showing equality amongst them, okay? And the first thing we see is that the source of the gifts is God the Spirit. Of gifts. Some of your verses have differences. Some of them have diversities. They choose to change the words of these things, the gifts, the workings, and the activities, and they say diversity, differences, diversities. It's silly. It's all the exact same word in the Greek. It's all the exact same word, and it means to separate, and to separate them out. And so so the word really means to separate things. So you have different ones is kind of the idea, because you're separating them out. Like we get done playing Dominion, right? And Dominion has a bunch of different cards, and we're making this big stack of cards. But at the end, when you're done playing it, what do? You put them to go back into their proper stacks. Okay? That's the concept of the word. And so you have a diversity of cards. Therefore, you're separating. That's where the translators take that shade of the word and say, talk about differences. They talk about diversities. Okay? But I choose to go back to the core of that word and just say separation. There are separation of gifts. And the word gifts, the word charisma, okay? Charisma, where we get the term what? Charismatic, okay? Charisma. In fact, there's a magazine called Charisma as well. But it's an act of charis, which is our word for grace, okay? It's a free gift. It's a bestowment of grace from God. You did nothing to get it. You did nothing to earn it. It's exact same as Romans 6:23, that the wage is death, but the charisma, okay, the gift of God is eternal life. You did nothing to earn it. Rather, everything you did to earn was what? Condemnation, you know? And so this is something that is just given to you, okay? Holy Spirit, God the okay, and the word ministries here is the word that we use like for a deacon, diakonia, okay? And so Jesus said when he was, it shall not be so among you that you should not lord it over others, but it shall not be among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your deacon, diakonos. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave, doulos, just as the Son of Man did not come to be deaconed, served, but to deacon, to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So the idea of ministry there, okay, that when you get this bestowment, okay, and we're going to talk about this in a moment, when you get this bestowment isn't for you, this bestowment is for what? Ministry, for service. The Father then gives you a separation of activities, okay? Depends on what the Greek word literally is energeo. Where do you think we get from energeo? Energy. Boom! Energy. Okay? So it is God, Philippians 2 says, it is God who works, energizes you to both will, thelo, think about this in a second, his will, his thelo, okay, because we'll come back to that later, and to do energy for his good pleasure. God gives you the energy, energizes you to have the energy to do what he wants you to do. Okay? So God gives you what? The ability to serve and gives you to accomplish it, okay? The recipient, we read here, that every individual, look what it says, 12, verse 6, there are diversity of activities, but it is the same God who works what? All in all. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to what? To each one for the profit of all. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom, so on and so forth, and he gets in. But to each one. So every believer, get it? Every believer has been endowed with a gift by the Spirit. Therefore, every believer has a ministry to perform for Christ, and every believer has a part in the God's activities. You ready for this? That means you. It includes you. If it's pointing, that finger's pointing at you, guess what? You're one of those ones who have been gifted. You're one of the ones that Christ desires to use to serve in his ministries according to God's activities. If you don't get it, I'm telling you right off the bat, the theme of this entire message is, what are you doing? Because God has gifted you. God is very clear over and over and over again through this chapter. I don't know if you heard it as Jared was reading it, but over and over and over again, God's saying what? I gifted you. You have a gift. You got a gift. You're necessary to the body. What are you doing with your get it done? Okay? So I'm going to ask you, even at the end, I'm going to ask you, what are you doing? What's your gift? I'm so tired of people having tests. Quit taking tests and trying to analyze what your gift is. Do you have a desire? Guess who probably placed it on your heart? God. Why are you going to fight it? Guess what? Guess who showed you the need? Guess why you saw the need? Every believer has been endowed with a gift. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you think about yourself. There is no room for people with complex. Humble, meek, not inferior. We are all equal in Christ. God has given us different gifts. I happen to be a voice box. People like to put pastors, don't put me on a... I'm Bob. That's who I am. I'm part of the assembly. It's Christ's church. He's the head, not me. Make sense? We're just an assembly. We gather together. He's just allowed me the privilege of being able to teach his word. Make sense? You have privileges too. God has raised up other men to be able to teach his word as well. I praise God for that. But God has given you a gift. I know it's a dead horse right now, but if there's nothing else that you get out of this, this is it. God has gifted you, and he wants to use you. And he'll give you the energy and the ability to do what he's called you to do. I 100% firmly believe it. Years ago, when we started the work, and I had no work, I said to God, if you put it in front of me, I'll do it. Because I believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God puts the work in front of me, he's going to enable me to do it. And you guys know, home improvement stuff, that wasn't me. We didn't do it growing up. I didn't know any of that at all. God's taught me. But how overwhelmed I was a couple years ago when going through preparing for Christmas, and I realized that a carpenter. That blows your brain, huh? He was a... I thought about it, and I started meditating. He revealed to me, it made total sense. Because who was Jesus? He was the master craftsman. And so if God was going to give me work, according to Bob, it would have been computers, right? Because I'm a computer guy. This makes sense. But God said, no. You told me whatever I put in front of you that you do. So what did God put in front of me? Craftsmanship. How cool is that? And I just cried. I mean, because God literally worked his work in me. But if he puts it in front of you, he'll give you the what? The ability to do it. I just want you to believe that. If you have a burden to teach, don't think I can't teach. You will teach. If you got a burden to evangelize, don't say I can't. You can. You just have to what? You do it. If God has put it in front of you, he will enable you to do it. But you'll never know. You'll never know until when. You do it. You do it. Don't say, I'm too busy. No, you're not too busy. Multiplies my time. Amazingly, to get things accomplished. Don't say, I can't. God can. Get it? All right. The purpose of the gifts is not, again, for yourself. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit. Everyone. So, as anybody else, I can become prideful, and I know that I can focus on me, okay? And now, honestly, my illustrations a lot of times are about me because I like to pick on myself rather than pick on somebody else, okay? But if you ever feel like I'm becoming very self-focused in my teaching, I want you to tell me. Because my teaching is not supposed to be about me. It'll all be about for the benefit of us all. Do you get it? This isn't just for Bob to be able to stand up front and feel good about himself. It better not be. If it does, I want to be held accountable. I want to be brought before the Lord in humility and repentance, because this isn't about me, or it shouldn't be about me, nor should it be about you. This is, we're going to see in a moment, his body. And so what he gifts us is not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others. Now, we get into then these gifts. Now, I know this is tiny for you in the back. That's from the back, and I was like, whoa, can hardly see this, but hopefully you see it. There are two, again, words in the Greek to talk about another, okay, and other things, okay? That word heteros, another of a different kind, heterosexual. Make sense? So you enjoy, make sense? Heterosexual, okay, or heteros. And then there's the word allos, an allomorph. An allomorph is a word that has the form of that's similar to another word. Okay, allos means another of the same kind. Okay, but all, why is this important? Because there are actually three classifications of gifts that are recorded there in front of you. You don't see it in English. I've looked at all the language, all the versions. They all keep saying other. And there's two different words here that are being used, and it's very, very important. There are actually three classifications. Williams isn't here, but I prepared. But if I would have said to Jonathan, Los Angeles, Seawolf, Virginia, does that mean anything to anybody here? Ooh, classes of attack subs. That's exactly right, okay? So attack subs are broken into classifications, okay? I could talk about the SSN, I could talk about the SNBN, I could talk about the SSGN, okay? And those are classes of subs as a whole, okay? And so within the classes of the subs, you get into the attack subs, and those are then the Los Angeles, the Seawolf, and the Virginia. Virginia's not created yet. That's the one that's on the blocks. It's going to be coming out, okay? Anyways, but there's classifications that are going on. We understand classifications. When we get into biology, we understand classifications, okay? That's what's going to happen, okay? So I want to read you this passage, and then we're going to come through these, okay? See this, okay? Now remember, the word heteros is another of a different kind, meaning I'm getting into a what? Another class. Allos is another of the same kind, okay? And so the word allos is going to be used the most. Heteros is only used twice, so I want you to listen, okay? So, verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, allos, to another the same kind, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Verse 9. Heteros, hetero, to another of a different kind, faith by the same Spirit, allos, another of the same kind, gifts of healings by the same Spirit, allos, to another of the same kind, the working of miracles, allos, to another of the same kind, prophecy, allos, to another of the same kind, discerning of spirits, heteros, to another a different kind, kinds of tongues, allos, another of the same kind, to another the interpretation of tongues. Do you see it? So the first classification we have are these gifts of insight, wisdom, and knowledge. Okay, God gives specific abilities, okay, of insight to individuals. Note that prophecy isn't in here. Prophecy is part of the faith grouping, okay? This is wisdom and knowledge, okay? So this isn't prophetic wisdom. This isn't prophetic knowledge. This is just what? Wisdom and knowledge. Some people happen to be able to discern things a little bit better than others. They're able to apply things just a little bit better than others. We think, oh, they're really, aren't they? No, it's nothing about them. Jesus said in John 3, when Nicodemus came to see him, you must be what? Born again. You need to be born of the water and of the Spirit. You must be born again. When you were born, what were you born with? Well, no, not when you were physically born. What were you? What did you have? You had a personality type. You had a temperament. You had what? Say again.
Blood type,
that's true. But you had abilities. You had talents. Okay? Everybody on the earth has some abilities and talents. Yes? You were born with them. Jesus said you must be what? Born again. What do you think happens when you're born again? He gives you new personalities, doesn't he? I mean, honestly, if you'd have known me 35 years ago, you wouldn't know me 35 years ago. He gives you new personality. Guess what else he gives you? New abilities. Ich habe 5 Jahre in der Schule. Interpret that for me.
You got 5 years in school.
I had 5 years in school. Ich habe 5 Jahre in der Schule.
I have 5 years
in
German school.
Yeah, 1 Jahr in elementary, 3 Jahr in Hochschule, 1 Jahr in Universität.
1 year in elementary, 3 years in high school, and 1 year in
University. College. In college. Okay? I worked that phrase. I worked that. It took me 5 years to be able to tell you that. 5 years of German just to be able to do that, you know? How much German did you have? Did you? We get together, and I'll start in the morning. You know, I'll meet on Wednesday morning. Good morning. And he said, good morning. You know, good morning. And I say, Wie geht's? And say, you know, whatever. And then I'm done, because at that point, he can just go fly right past me. I'm done. 5 years of German, and that's it, baby. That's it. I speak to a missionary every Tuesday who's in Germany. I'll just tell him the guten Tag, and that's it. But I mean, because the minute he starts talking, I'm done. 5 years. 5 years. We'll get to the languages. But when I got saved, I believe God gave me a gift of languages. I'll get to that, okay? So the idea is that God then gives you something different. So do you seem to have more wisdom than you did before you got saved? Do you seem to be able to attain knowledge and to be able to know things that you wouldn't have known before? Guess what? God's empowered you. He's given you a gift. Don't look down on other people because they don't have that. Do you get it? Sometimes we do. Man, I grew like a rocket. I mean, God just took me and just enabled me. I mean, I was preaching 2 years after I got saved. That's not about me. It's what God did. Does it make sense? Gifts of insight. These gifts of faith. Faith, healings, miracles, prophecy, discernment. These are things that come, okay, with having this just extraordinary, supernatural ability to believe that it'll be done for you. You want me to walk on water? I can do it. No, not me. But that's Peter. Think about it. Could Peter walk on water? When he had his eyes focused on Jesus. Once. That's exactly right. Because God wanted him to do it right then. Does it make sense? But he did. He didn't even think about it. He says, if it's really you, call me out. He didn't wait for Jesus to call him out. He says, he initiated it. If it's really you, call me out. So Jesus says, all right, come on. So he didn't think about it. He got out of the boat and he did it. And then all of a sudden he what? Took his eyes off of Jesus and fell into the water. But at least he said what? Lord, save me. And he knew who to cry out to, right? The point is that God gives abilities, energizes certain people to be able to do things that defy nature. The gift of healing. I don't have it necessarily. Okay? But to be able to lay my hands, put some oil upon her forehead, pray over her, and boom! I remember years ago, previous church, there was a guy whose back was hurting really bad. He asked to pray over him. So we went downstairs. We laid hands on him. We prayed for him. His back got healed. Later in that day, man, my back started hurting. And I said, Lord, this is not what I was expecting. I'm not talking about transfer. I'm talking about healing. I had to get everybody to come pray over me. Anyways, but he was healed. I know stories, some of them from my brother and my sister-in-law, who the Lord has used to go around the world and be able to evangelize. My brother was in Nepal. And there was a man who had this oxen, and his arm was kind of shriveled up, was unable to use it, and he was just using one. And he felt burdened to pray for this guy. And so he prayed with this guy and prayed for this guy. And they weren't able to go out because there was a strike or something going on. But like 2 or 3 days later, he got to go out and he went into the village and he couldn't find the guy. And he asked about it. And anyways, they pointed him out. His arm's healed. Totally using both arms. God was using it to testify of the message that was being proclaimed. my sister-in-law, my brother's wife, they were in Africa. And she and the guy that she was partnered with, they were going evangelizing, they ran into a woman who was all stooped over. And the man felt burdened, felt, can I pray for you? Can I pray for your healing? Sure. They laid hands on her. And he says, stand up. She did. However many years being stooped over. All I can tell you is that God enables people to do a work when he burdens them to do it. Does that make sense? I know for some of you, this may rack a little bit of your theologies. It racks my theology too. It doesn't matter. But again, I believe that God can do whatever he chooses to do when he uses whoever he chooses to do it. Now, is there, Jesus said that in those last days, there are going to be false what? Anointed ones. And they're going to be able to do powerful things that even if it was possible to deceive even the what? The very elect. So are there false healers out there? Are there false miracles out there? Are there false prophets out there as there were in the days of Israel? 100%. Okay? But God gives a special discernment to certain people to be able to see through those things. And we're told in 1 John chapter 4 to discern the spirits. Does it make sense? So we've got to be able to look through this stuff and understand what is truly of God and what's not of God. Because there is a spiritual war that's going on out there, y'all. Okay? And we're physical pawns in the middle of it. Okay? And so all I can tell you is I know this stuff goes on. Okay? I've seen some of it. When we get into the satanic realm, I mean, just the reality is, I mean, some of you know, the previous church, I had a guy in my office. He was demon oppressed, possessed, whatever. I had things moving around my office. The blinds were click, 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 click. We got down, we prayed, we got up. All the pictures of my family on my desk were all knocked over. I mean, it was just nuts, the stuff that was going on. Okay? That was an office of a church. That stuff can't happen at a church building, can it? Okay? This stuff's for real. Okay? So all I'm trying to tell you, it's for real. Power, God's great power that's at work, that's it's going to get the victory in the end, is the same power that can work in you if you're just willing to let him work. Gifts of languages, families of languages, interpretation of languages. Families of languages, I'm going to talk about this more in about 4 weeks from now when we get to chapter 14, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. So if you want to hear about tongues, come back in about 4 weeks, okay? So let's see, next week is chapter 13, we're talking about love, then the bishops are going to be here, and then it's Resurrection Day, and so then the Sunday after that is when we get to talk the beginning of chapter 14, and then the week after that we conclude chapter 14. Lord willing, hopefully I'll be here and I can share it with you. But if not, I get to be in a better place, right? So we have families of languages. The families there, the kinds, you read kinds of tongues, literally is gene, okay? We think of genocide, right? That's what? Killing certain groups of people, okay? It's a social group, okay? Or a race. So these are races of tongues. And the word tongue is used in the Greek for language. Lips. Lips is used for dialect. Tongue is used for language, okay? So I'm just going to tell you right now, I believe it's a language. Come 4 weeks and I'll show you biblically why I believe that, okay? But I want to tell you that based upon the demonic worship influence of the past, okay, the people were struggling with things that weren't necessarily just languages. All right. So those are the classes of the gifts. Now we got to get into the cooperation of these gifts. Paul then deals first off the bat with this intrinsic nature of the body. Okay. Now we understand right off the bat because you all have 20/20, you know, hindsight knowledge. We're talking about the body of Christ. But that's the first thing that we start talking about, okay? That Paul wants them to know, you are the body of Christ. It's not all about you. It's not the body of Bob. It's not the body of Brazos. It's not the body of anybody here. It's the body of Christ. It's his body. He can do with it what he chooses. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, we read that Christ gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the equipping of the saints into the Greek word is ace there. I don't never understand why they want to translate this for, other than, again, you have to remember that history of translations, okay, that the translations originally of the King James, okay, was translated by who? Anybody know who translated it? The English. Anglican who? Anglican priests. Anglican priests. And you need to understand the strata of authority in that church. Okay? You have laity. Okay? The Catholic where you have the priest and the laity. Who does the work? The priest. Okay? So I want you to understand that that word there is the Greek word eis, which means into. Am I right? All of those who know Greek? Okay? It means into. For the equipping of the saints in the work of the ministry, or literally here ministry is deaconing again, into the edifying of the body of Christ. It's not my job to do the work of the ministry. It's not my job to do the edifying of the body of Christ. It's my job as part of the what? The body. But it's all of our job. My job is to try to equip you so that you do the work and edify the body. Are you tracking with me? It's all of our job to serve, work in the ministry, all of our job to edify the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect Christ, should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the chicanery, the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying itself in love. If the body is going to grow, if the body is going to grow up into this perfect knowledge of Christ, who has to do the work? Everybody. Every joint has to do what it's called to do. Okay? So, we are the body of Christ. We are a spiritual body. And talking about being baptized in one body, this goes back into chapter 10. Okay? Remember, this is a long letter. Paul's not kind of bringing this stuff out. This is a continuity thing. Okay? So, if you back in the chapter 10, remember what Paul wrote about how Israel, they were all baptized into Moses, how they all drank from that same spiritual rock. Same allusion going on here. He's going all the way back there, okay? That just as Israel was baptized into Moses, just as Israel drank from that same spiritual rock, so we as a body of Christ are all baptized into Christ. We all drink from the same spiritual rock. Make sense? There's no difference. Nobody's more special than the other. We are all in Christ, okay? We're all supposed to be immersed in Christ. So that's the intrinsic nature. But now, this integral nature, first of all, the configuration of the body is by the will of God. I want to, again, point out something real quick. It's in the Greek that you won't see, okay? But I want to point it out, and this is a kind of side rabbit trail that I'm not going to go on. I'm just going to point it out so you can kind of meditate on it, okay? So look at verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as what? As he wills, okay? Verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he what? Pleased. Do you think that those are synonymous, those statements? Yeah, so the Spirit wills and the Father pleases. Do you think that that's a synonymous statement, or do you think that the Father's pleasure is subordinate to the Spirit's will? Do you see where I'm going here? Now, this is important because this gets into the election free will thing, okay? Well, it's in context. You can see it. That God's the one in the he. But now God has set the members, each one in the body, just as he pleased. When it talks about God here, he's talking about the Father. He's talking about the Spirit. He says Spirit. When he's talking about the Son, he talks about Jesus, the Lord, okay? So here's my point. Anyways, because I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. There's two Greek words, ulomai and thelo, okay? I know, it's all Greek to you. Anyways, but it's important because there is an author, and I won't use his name right now, that has split the hairs on this stuff, okay? And said, even though God made all men to be saved, it's not his will. Wow, yeah, okay? But these same two words are being used here, how? Synonymously. Okay, and the fact is that he uses it in such a way that if you use them in that method, then the will of the Father is subordinate to the counsel ordained will, if you would, of the Spirit. That's not right. Okay? So I'm not spending time on it right now. Just want you to think about it. Those words are used here, okay? It's a very synonymous thing, okay? And so that the will of God, okay, is the same as the will of God, his counsel, okay? It's one and the same. God, because God is sovereign, and so if God has a pleasure and his will is to do something, then what? He can do it. He can do it. Now, so we're told, though, that the configuration of the body, then, is by the will of God. Each individual, we read here, then, has a what? Has a role. And so he uses all these illustrations, and we're not going to go into ad nauseum of these illustrations, but he then talks about the body as like a physical body. He says, because I'm not an eye, you know, if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm therefore not of the body. I mean, and he goes on, he says, look, if everybody was an ear, where would seeing be? If everybody was an eye, where would the hearing be? I mean, have you ever talked to somebody who was blind? Would they love to have their eyesight? Yeah. Can they function without their eyesight? Yes. But could they function a whole lot better if they had eyesight? 100%. Do you get it? And so what about someone who can't hear? I'd say, can you talk to them? But you'd have to learn a new language before you talk to them. Unless they're very good at reading what? Lips. Because otherwise, you've got to learn sign language. I'll have Zoe come up and explain it to you in sign language. Anyways, I don't get it, okay? I wish I could speak in that. I can do, you know, Jesus loves me. I got it, okay? Jesus loves you, you know, and I can communicate, okay? That's about it. So I should know some other words. We try to play on that, work with that some more. But I can't. It's like German, you know, it's like it doesn't go. Anyways, and so the reality is, though, that every part of the body is what? Is important. And every part has a role. I can pick up things with my right hand. I can pick up things with my left hand. But we just worked at Tim's on Friday, and we have big black totes where we put all the tools in, so to protect them from the rain and that kind of stuff that we put in the trailer or into the truck or whatever. Well, I can't get that big black tote out with one hand. I can pick it up and I can drag, but the reality is I need what? I need both hands. And if there were two left hands, you know what? It still wouldn't work very well. I really need a what? A match set. And so when it takes a two-man lift, I'll throw in my left hand, and Tim may throw in his what? Right hand. And we both pick up. But we're still working in what? Concert, okay? So every part of my body has a purpose, okay? It has a role, even if we understand the role. I love the appendages that evolutionists have stated that we have in our body. We have throwovers from evolutionary process that don't, you know, your spleen, you know, you just get. Do they matter? If you've ever had those things, you know they matter, okay? Marcia had just, the little adrenal gland. How big is that little adrenal gland? Not very big at all, but you know what? She had a big tumor that started squeezing on the little adrenal gland and it started busting her brain out with the blood flow. It was just an amazing thing. How these little bitty things we don't think about, you know what? When it starts. And it's inside. No one ever sees it. But when it starts being squeezed on the wrong way, guess what? You know it's there. Okay? Your little bitty toe, you know, that little pinky, means nothing. It's just an appendage. Do you know what it's used for? Balance. That's exactly right. You lose that thing, you got to learn how to rewalk. And I promise you, don't have your shoes on, you know, your shoes and socks, and you're walking your bare feet, and you get too close to the leg of the table, what? Oh, yeah. That's exactly, oh, yeah. You know it. And when you break that little bitty toe, it lets you know that it's what? It's a vital member of your assembly, okay? Each individual is important. God has placed the body together as he wills, as he pleases, as he desires. Do you know why you're here? To make me feel good. No, no, not at all. You're here because what? Because he made you. It doesn't matter. And God led him as your head to bring you here. And so God has you here for a purpose. Whether you know it or not, God has led you here. By you're important to this assembly. Don't think you're not important. The question is, what does God want you to do? He wants you to do something. The coalescence of the body is for the good of all. Now, coalescence is maybe a big term, but it's the perfect term for what happens here. Think chemistry. You have a bunch of different elements, okay? Better yet, Think the kitchen. That's exactly right. How many of you want to eat baking soda? Or baking powder, I'm sorry, baking powder. No, if I put out the thing of baking powder and said, hey, some baking powder? Nobody's going to sit there. Wheat flour. You may want a chunk on a stalk of wheat, but now if I grind it and I just have flour, not many of you are going to what? Pick up some flour. But you know what? You start putting vanilla. You like vanilla and stuff. Have any of you ever had a spoon of vanilla extract? Yeah, those who have are all giving me the same look. You did it. You did it because you thought, I remember as a kid, because I thought, oh, I love vanilla. And I went, and you put all this stuff together and you get a what? A cake. And you love it, huh? Your chocolate cookie. You love this stuff, okay? Because when you take all these different things and they coalesce together, it makes something wonderful. You look around, and every one of us, I'm messing with you. You look around, and every one of us have issues. I mean, left to ourselves, we got issues. But God takes all these imperfect people and does what? He coalesces them together, brings us together, that we can serve him. Hopefully, Lord willing, to have a powerful effect upon our community that's about us, upon people who need to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's why he's got us together. Do you get it? I mean, I am so sold on the fact that God gave us this property across the street because he wants us to minister into this neighborhood. He wants us to minister to the people in that school. He doesn't want put us here because he wants us to minister to Aiken. That's kind of silly. Now, can people come from Aiken and be a part of our assembly? 100%. But there's a reason why God has us here. And he brought every one of you, and now even new ones coming, right? And he brings us for a reason. And we've got to see that. We've got to be committed to it. Not for Bob. This has nothing to do with me. I could die today. But I hope that you get the vision of what God's got us here. It's not about me. It's not about my assembly. It's his assembly and what he is doing. In this body, it's his body. It's not mine. It's not David's. It's not Steve's. It's not the three of us. Oh, we're like a trinity now, aren't we? It's not ours. It's his. Oh, wait. I missed my points. For the mutual need and the mutual concern. Okay? We need one another, is what he says through his illustrations. We need one another. But we should have then a concern for one another as well, okay? Care for one another. When someone is sorrowing, what? We all should be sorrowing. When someone is rejoicing, we shall all be rejoicing. This is what Romans 12 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That's what he says here in 1 Corinthians 12 as well. When someone in assembly is sorrowful, we should be sorrowful with them. When they're rejoicing, we should rejoice with them. So in the end, what abilities and gifts has God bestowed upon you? And it shouldn't be blank. It may take you some time to pray about it. But I just want you to think, what are God that has placed on you since you've come his child? What are things that you see? What are needs that you see? It could be something as purely physical, landscaping, gardening. It could be something very ethereal. But let me tell you, I would love for us to have a music minister. Charles is gone now. I want somebody to be able to fill the gap. I enjoy singing, but it's not my role. Does it make sense? I'm trusting that God's going to raise up someone to lead the singing. Okay? I don't mind doing it, but it's not my role. I want someone else to be able to do that. I'll train you, just as I was trained. It wasn't my role way back when Woody then taught me how to wave my hand. Okay, this is how you do it. Just keep working it. Just keep practicing. You can do it. You can do it. You know. And as you sing, your voice will come. God will empower you to be able to do what he calls you to do. Okay? My dad always called me a frog growing up, okay? So I may still like sound like a frog, but we don't tape the singing, okay? And so, yeah. So if you don't like it, start leading the singing. I'll even give you a tune bucket, right? I'll even give you a bucket. Because people say, I can't carry a what? Tune in a bucket. Well, I'll give you the bucket, and it'll say tune bucket on it, and you can carry it, okay? Anyways, on your bulletin inserts, something that we need, potentially, okay, is now that we have more and more babies coming, okay, we potentially need to have a nursery schedule. A schedule, ministry, whatever. Just people who each week are ready to be able to minister to others with their babies. I mean, if there are two or three that want to take their babies out, it kind of makes sense that maybe one person is there to the same person being what? Doing it every week. So it could be the same person every week. I'm just saying that that's something that I see coming out there, right? And so I'm going to take the bull by the horns, and I'm just going to put it out there and saying, hey, look, I'm looking for somebody who may want to consider being that nursery coordinator, okay, who may have a gift in that area. Maybe it's administration. Maybe it's just seeing the need of babies, having a desire for babies. And then others who are going to what? Say, hey, you know what? I don't mind doing that once in a while. I'll do that once every 2 months. I'll do that once every 3 months. And it's not just an individual. It could be a couple. In the previous church, when we had that, we grew and we needed a nursery schedule and stuff like that, the couples on it, okay? And every once in a while, someone will preach for me, and I'll take it with Marcia, okay? I love kids. Make sense? It's something that we do as a body, make sense, to minister to the body. But someone's going to have to see it as an ability and a gift that they can start the ball rolling with it, okay? What is your philosophy of church? Are you coming for what you can get or for what you may give? That's a whole big philosophy there. I promise you, in America today, most people go to church for what they're going to get. Are you more concerned with your wants or the needs of the body? Do you believe that God has brought you here for his glory and the edification of the assembly? I promise you, if that's the way you think, you need to what? Change the way you think. Thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you, Lord, for this assembly and what you have done. Father, I pray that you would be magnified here, truly show yourself as the head, and that you would guide and direct, Lord, in all of our affairs. Lord, that you would assist David and Steve and I in guiding by your grace and by your wisdom, the assembly, but Lord, that you would work within the individual members, Lord, and you would raise them up to serve in the activities that you have called them to do, Lord, and that the world would be in wonder at what you are doing in us and through us for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. So,